now on Nights, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to the Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research. Yours for life.
Every Tuesday night we speak with one of the great professionals from the SAN. Tonight, once again, I'm really, really interested in what we've got to talk about, because this is a new tool in the armory to kill bacteria and viruses. Now, this is obviously a very topical subject. This one's been found in a Boston University study to have a 99% success in cleaning operating theatres and other procedural and clinical areas of bacteria and viruses. Now, this could include COVID-19. Now, this is now in use at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and a lot of you would be familiar with this idea that using UV light, it can actually deal with germs and with bacteria. But this is high-tech stuff. It's a cleaning system called Thor. It uses UVC light. From what I'm told, it looks like the R2-D2 robot from Star Wars, but it's in there in the operating theatre doing its job. Let's get someone to explain it better than I can. Sydney Adventist Hospital Head of Orthopaedic Surgery, Dr. Rod Brooks. He was a key advocate for this new surface disinfection system because joint infections or bone infections can be really debilitating. Let's talk to him now. He's on the line with us now. Dr. Brooks, good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you very much for having me on the program.
Can we just kick off orthopaedic surgery? Just explain what you do as an orthopaedic surgeon.
Well, look, John, orthopaedic surgery, really most people think of as the surgery of bone and joints and broken bones. And the origin of the term people might not be aware of, but the actual term means a straight child or making a child straight. So back in antiquity, it came from the correction of deformity in the limbs and the spine. But nowadays, it's apart from bones and joints, it's things like tendon ruptures, Achilles tendons and cruciate ligaments, sometimes some nerve injury or nerve surgeries like carpal tunnel decompressions, but the real core business is surgery on bones and joints.
Yep. We hear a lot of you, I guess, in the world of sport, because I think you do the knee reconstructions, do you, and the Achilles work on some of these sporting people.
That's exactly right, John. That's again a core business, and look, everybody tends to have their own specialty, especially in a big city like Sydney, but there's a lot of knee surgery and shoulder surgery among sports people, and that's a very common thing.
And, of course, knee replacement, I think a lot of our listeners have either had it or thought about it. So just what is it about orthopaedic surgery that makes infection a particular issue?
Well, look, it's interesting you mention knee replacement, because that's the type of surgery where we're putting an implant deep into the limb and attaching it to the bone, where we're very, very conscious of the risk of infection. Now, fortunately, that risk is extremely low. However, the only infection rate we want in a surgery like that is zero. So we'll go to any possible length to make that zero. And the reason is that if an infection gets into that deep situation where you've got a prosthesis, it's hard for the body to get rid of it, because the bacteria can sort of live on the surface of the prosthesis. So even with antibiotics, it's hard to clean that infection up, and it usually means more surgery, sometimes even taking the prosthesis out, cleaning and putting it back in. Now, you know, fortunately and reassuringly, that's a rare thing to have to do, but that's the reason in an orthopaedic theatre you will see the highest level of paranoia, if you like, amongst, yep. Theatre sort of etiquette to keep the place sterile.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of the term deep cleaning during the current pandemic, and we know ultraviolet light can have that effect, so this is something quite sophisticated where you've got to try and get every little nook and cranny dealt with, and it mightn't necessarily be able to be done other than using this light. So can you just explain what's special about it and why it does it?
Well, that's right, John. I mean, normally there's cleaning in between every operation, and then there's a sort of more major clean at the end of the day. But that typically consists of wiping surfaces over with a disinfectant. But if you imagine what's inside an operating theatre, the amount of tubes, the machinery, the anaesthetic machine, the lights, nowadays computer consoles, keyboards, phones, it's quite difficult to really get to every part of every bit of that gadgetry by wiping it down. And this is a type of ultraviolet emitting radiation that can be wheeled into the theatre and stood on its own inside the room. Then the people leave the theatre, and then it will sort of zap the contents of the room with radiation. You can even put other things into the room. For example, those surgical hoods or helmets, if you like, that we wear.
Right. Yep.
Things like that that are kind of hard to clean. But you could line four or five of those up on the operating table, and they will get decontaminated by the thaw unit as it cleans the theatre. Or you can put in your lead gowns, which you use for when you're taking X-rays in the theatre. They're things also that are quite hard to clean.
So the thaw, really, just tell me, I find this extraordinary, because we hear about these robot vacuum cleaners, but this is, you know, 1,000 times more sophisticated, and I'm assuming that it does calculations, does it, and works out where the nooks and crannies are and shoots the light in. Is that how it's working?
Yeah, look, that's pretty much it, John. It doesn't walk around the theatre on its own, which when I first heard about it, I thought it's some sort of mobile robot. But no, it stays in the one spot, but it has like a little conning tower that looks around the room, and, you know, pops out of the top of the machine, looks around the room and does an initial scan and a survey and works out how big the room is, how much paraphernalia is in the room, and then it can calculate the duration of radiation that's necessary to clean that space. And in a typical largish operating theatre like where I normally work, the time will be about sort of 45 or 50 minutes. But,
okay,
you know, in a small room, it might be 10 minutes.
So just explain, it's shooting out, is it UVC light or is it right? What exactly is it shooting out? And if you're in the room, which I assume is not a smart idea, what would you actually see?
Well, that's a great question. You can't actually see UVC light, but it is radiation. It's ultraviolet light, so it's part of that electromagnetic spectrum that is between visible light and X-rays. It isn't exactly a benign thing to land on the skin, although there is some in the environment, but this machine will emit this radiation into a closed room. Now, if anyone opens the door, no one should be in the room, but if anyone inadvertently were open the door and wander in, the machine has a motion sensor and it would switch off straight away. But you can watch it from outside. The ultraviolet light won't penetrate glass, so you can see it through the theatre window and you can control it from outside the room with a tablet.
Yeah, obvious question, which people I'm sure are thinking. What about COVID-19? Is it active against that? Because there have been some suggestions that it might.
Well, it is, but I think we just have to be clear here. This isn't a treatment for COVID-19. You can't sort of put it up against somebody who's infected with it. It's for disinfecting an area.
Right.
And the bulbs which are used on this device have been tested in a fairly recent study over in the States and tested against COVID-19 material, and it's shown to sort of denature the DNA of the virus within a matter of seconds, actually.
Yep.
And it's been used in the past. I mean, it's not exactly new technology, it's just a new delivery system, but it's been used in the past for sterilising all manner of things, including water systems and air and other spaces. So it's a well-known and sort of well-credentialed form of decontamination.
This isn't the first robot in the SAN operating theatre. I think we've talked about at least one other. So there's a few of them around, isn't there?
Well, it struck me walking down the corridor in the theatre suite. They seem to be taking the place over. And the general surgeons and prostate surgeons were first off the mark with their Da Vinci robot a few years ago. And that seems to have met with a lot of success.
Yeah.
And then more recently, ourselves in orthopedics have the Mako robot, which is a great, I think, adjunct to our ability in joint replacement, mainly, you know, particularly in knee replacements. And then now there's this Thaw, which is, a little bit of... They all work in different ways, but
they all have
a sort of robotic side to them.
But ultimately, you're controlling the robots, aren't you? Because the surgeon, they're kind of an adjunct to what you do, aren't they?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think sometimes when you mention robotics to a patient, their sort of eyes look a bit concerned, and they say, well, will you be in the tea room, or will you be actually in there with the robot?
Yes.
You can explain. Yeah. It doesn't actually do, these surgical robots don't actually do anything on their own. They're an adjunct to the surgeon's own activities.
Yep. Now, you've already talked about what happens. I mean, the theatres are cleaned after every procedure. They're cleaned at the end of the day. There's lots of disinfectant used. So this is for those really high-risk areas. But the cleaning, I think that's one of the key things in any hospital, isn't it? All that cleaning that has to be done.
Well, that's right. And look, I think when COVID first hit, it's quite a few months ago now, back around February when it was hitting in Italy and everybody was so concerned about what it was going to be like in a matter of days or weeks, and enormous preparations were made. And, you know, touch wood, we didn't get that onslaught, although, you know, Victorian colleagues, of course, have had a lot of trouble. But
yep.
We've had other super bugs come into the hospital before, so we're kind of used to the concept of having to clean areas. But, you know, COVID is just so infectious and exists on surfaces. So, and you know, I think it's conceivable that we're going to have COVID patients in the hospital sooner or later. We've been, I think, very lucky to, you know, in our hospital not to have had anybody in with COVID for several months. But it's highly likely to happen. And then if they've been in that room, you know, say in that patient bedroom, when that patient's discharged, you can take this thaw thing, it's on wheels, park it in the room, and it'll clean the room out. And, you know,
very good.
That makes it safer for the next patient.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, all right. So I'm assuming things, well, that's one of the things, there's a few things you'd be doing differently at the moment to be extra cautious.
Well, that's right. You know, it's same as in society generally. It's minimising the movement around the hospital, minimising the number of visitors. Even like I've had medical students this afternoon, but instead of the traditional taking them up to the bedside and standing around and examining the patient, we all meet in a room down in the medical school without a patient present. So it's just trying to minimise the contact of people and the traffic around the hospital. You know, patients are only allowed to have one visitor. Again, just to reduce that potential handover of infection.
Yeah, just a final one then, because we've heard a lot of people are putting off procedures, even visits to the doctor, because they're worried about going somewhere where there could be infection. What's your thought on that? Have you noticed people doing that, and what would you say?
Look, we have had a few people express some concern, but look, I think at the moment, at least in our environment in Sydney, we're pretty safe. Things are under control. But obviously, we've got to keep watching that space. It's a little different situation in Victoria, but as it is in Sydney and New South Wales, the theatres are open and running. Doctors are seeing patients in their offices. So if you've got a health issue, I think it's certainly right to have it attended to, because, you know, you could be otherwise sowing the seeds for bigger problems down the track. And, you know, we might be facing more shutdowns down the track. So, you know, now the opportunities are there to have your medical needs and surgical needs looked after. So it's I think it's appropriate to get on with it.
All right. I will ask one other question. I've got a senior orthopaedic surgeon here, and on behalf of many of our listeners, but particularly me, you got sore knees or little aches or things. Do you recommend getting it done sooner rather than later, from what you've seen as you've gone in there and tried to work on these issues?
Look, that's a very interesting question, John, and look, it depends so much on the person's age and probably more than anything else on the severity of the symptoms. But once you're getting up into that older age group, you know, some of the operations that we're thinking about now, like joint replacements, are highly likely to last a good time. So there's not really a great benefit in putting things off once you know they're going to need to be done. You might as well have them done and enjoy the benefit of it, rather than wait till you're very, very old and then having it done anyway when it's, you know, perhaps a bit more risky.
The answer we were looking for. Doctor, great to talk to you tonight. Very interesting. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks a lot for having me on.